Tape 2, Side 1. Interview with Mrs. Eric Zeisel in her home, 11110 Montana, Los Angeles, California, September 4th, 1975. In our first interview, we talked about Eric Zeisel, the man. We talked about his family circumstances, the obstacles placed in his path, his formal training, and life as a professional composer. Before we get into the material for today, is there anything that you'd like to add?
Well, perhaps I should describe a little bit more the circle of friends.
Yes, certainly.
I think they were of quite a bit of influence in some ways. Now, I should mention that in his very early years, Eric didn't have a large circle of friends.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was almost something remarkable, because young people were 16, 17 usually.
Oh, normally,
in
yes.
In a big circle. And he did not. He usually had one close friend who you very much wondered why he would be his close friend. For instance, at the time that I first described when I met him, and he was so drunk, you know?
Yes.
Then he had a friend who later became a lawyer and was just a typical lawyer type.
Oh.
Very, very dry, you know, very
yes.
logical man, and just so much the opposite of Eric, you know. And Eric, but he tagged along. He was musical, I presume. And he tagged along, and it was necessary for Eric to have somebody to tag along, but he was never real close to any kind of friend. I think he was either too close to his brothers or distrusted man because of his brothers, because they had so little interest for him. He was much more liable to become very close to a woman and trust a girl, you know, and completely devote himself when he was in love, which he usually was. And then he was constantly with that person, with the exclusion. But he did accumulate some friends. And when he entered our circle, and especially when he became closer with me, then he acquired my friends, and I had a large circle of friends. Now, one of these friends, for instance, was a rather rich young man from a wealthy house, and he looked and acted like Mecenas, you know, the Roman.
Oh, yes.
Whenever
yes.
Eric was in dire need, he was always good for, you know, let's say for a buck, and then it was a shilling or two. It wasn't very much, you know, that he got. And this man was generous, but to a point, he was also very commercially minded, so he didn't give it for nothing. He wanted Eric to give him a score for this, and Eric always promised, and the poor guy never got any of the scores. I still have them here. I think he sold him the Requiem about three times over or something, and never delivered it. But he was good-natured and didn't seem to mind. Like, you know, just a few bitter remarks here and there, but And then there was, of course, Fritz Kramer,
yes.
who appreciated him very much, and with whom we became closest, as far as Eric became close with anybody. And then there was a young poet, Alfred Farrow, he called himself later. His real name was Hermfeld. And then, of course, there was Hilde Spiel.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Remember, she was a writer of considerable talent and is still active in Vienna, is very much respected there. And I told you that she included him in her first novel, and the whole chapter has a figure in it, a composer, that is just
yes,
copied as if you would sit there and make a portrait of somebody.
Uh-huh.
and it's really very good and accurate when you read it.